Valentine's is known for Eros, romantic love, so we think. Yet, Saint Valentine, don't know if you know the story, but the 3rd century Roman saint was a priest or bishop who ministered to persecuted Christians. And he was actually martyred for it. And February 14th has been observed as the Feast of Saint Valentine, or Saint Valentine's Day, since at least the 8th century. And it was only in the 14th century in England that the feast day of February 14th, Valentine's Day, became associated with romantic love. But again, this amazing minister was a martyr, was sacrificial in upholding the cause and the purpose of Christ. Now, there are some stories that St. Valentine secretly married couples, especially soldiers who were in violation of Emperor Claudius II's decree that banned marriage to keep men focused on military duty. And when he was arrested and imprisoned and later executed, it was on February 14th, circa AD 270. And there's even a story circulated that he befriended the daughter of the jailer who was blind, and then before his execution passed her a final note saying, "From your Valentine." And she was blind, so it obviously would have to be read to her. Or another account said he prayed for her before leaving prison and healed her. I don't know. We can watch the reruns in heaven one day. So obviously there is a place for romantic love. Obviously, God himself created it. And when culture thinks that God is a fuddy-duddy, it's like, well, no, sweetheart. God created romance and romantic love and the ability to procreate. I mean, it's his, he said, be fruitful and fill the whole earth. It was his idea. So there's a place for that. There's a place for brotherly love and deep, dear friendship. God, again, created it. But then there's also a deep, sacrificial, unconditional love that's really given by God. It's a bit otherworldly. It's supernatural in its essence and ability. So, Eros, romantic; philia, friendship; and agape, which is unconditional, God-given from above. 3 kinds of love, these 3 different Greek words. So, love, the godly kind, who would think, on this wonderful Valentine weekend, there's a truth here that if we live by the Spirit truly, we will fulfill the law of love. If we live by the Spirit, we will fulfill the law of love. Romans 13:8. And I think Dave Ramsey would agree probably with this text here. It reads, "Let no debt remain outstanding except," can you say except? Except for the continuing debt to what? Love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled what? Has fulfilled the law. Interesting. So live by the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what we cannot do naturally on our own. We've said it many times how it takes God to do the works of God, but yet he does give his Holy Spirit to those who believe. And he grants us grace and grants us ability and grants us power. Amen. The scripture reads about Abraham, Sarah, that God gave Sarah ability to conceive. God gives you the ability to live well. God gives you the ability to relate rightly with your fellow brothers and sisters. And there is a love given from above that is otherworldly because, you know, our Adamic nature, our flesh will always be flesh. But yet you have the Spirit who's asking for permission to be preeminent in that tug of war. And there is a tug of war. The question is, who will win out when those moments come? So in Galatians 5, We'll join in verse 16. Here Paul said, "So I say, live how? By the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in what? Conflict with each other. Have you noticed?" Sure. "So that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I mean, it's just amazing how the perfect law of love, due to that grace given by God above, fulfills those requirements. It's a higher and the highest standard. It goes on to say, and I love this, especially in the South and in the Bible Belt where there's so much religion, but not everyone's serving the Lord. How many of you know there's a lot of proclamation? Yeah, I want to thank the man upstairs, or I want to thank God. And then you learn that there's just a horrible habit pattern in their life, you know, and you see this dichotomy. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate. So sometimes you have to qualify when you ask someone a Christian. It's like, well, let's just drill down a little deeper. Maybe we need to ask, you know, a little more intentionally, are you a follower of Jesus? You know, because the name, you know, yeah, I'm born in America, I'm a Christian, that whole thing. But here, Paul said in verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are what? They're what? One more time, they're what? In other words, Paul could have even gone, duh. In other words, this is not rocket science here. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, what? As I did before, that those who live like this will what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. So again, sometimes when you're ministering to someone and they're living like this, you may have to first get them lost before you can really get them saved. Amen. You may have to point out, I don't know. You confess him with your mouth, but by your very deeds you deny him, and there's a disparity there. We want your head knowledge to be synced up by your behavior and obedience to the Lord, because anyone can take the name easily enough. Amen. Y'all know anyone can talk a big game. Even in the sports world, it's easy to talk smack, isn't it? It's easy, you know, to talk it up. But anyway, it goes on to say, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us what? Keep in step with the Spirit. I like that. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Let us keep in step. That presupposes we might not be in step. So as this list here of the fruit of the Spirit, right out of the gate, the first fruit of the Spirit listed is love. And I don't think the order and sequence is mere happenstance. So in the letter inspired by the Holy Spirit, as Paul is recording it, love leads. And we know God is love. He puts a premium on love, and it cures many ills, putting down our flesh. Amen? But it's intentional. It doesn't just happen, because again, our Adamic bent and our selfish nature wants to go in a different direction. So we can be saved and on our way to heaven, but that process of sanctification is where we're becoming more like him, to even where his emotions are dropped into our emotions and we begin to feel what he feels. Like you have a burden for someone, or supernatural compassion for someone that you wouldn't normally have in and of yourself. Remember when John the Baptist was beheaded? He was the cousin of Jesus. And that was tough because he's the Son of God, but he was the Son of Man. I mean, he was wrapped in humanity. And I think he went out to be alone. I think he was grieving his cousin's death. And then it said the multitudes came out to him. Now, if it were one of us, we could say, dear me, can you give me 24 hours? Can you give me some time alone? How many of y'all have ever felt like that? Can you leave me alone? Can we push it off till tomorrow? It'll still be there. Can I circle back to that tomorrow? And they came to him and they had needs. And he could have thought, you needy crowd, but he looked upon them with compassion and saw that they were helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And he ministered to their needs. Y'all, that's supernatural. Even for Jesus in that moment, that was the grace of God on his life. In that moment where he was probably trying to be alone, but yet here came the need, and there was that ability given from above to minister outside of himself. Normally when we're in a place of pain where we're not thinking about doing anything outside of ourselves, we want to pull the curtain to and curl up in the fetal position. But you know that somehow through giving, even in those settings, you'll walk away with the blessing, because it's just a principle of God. Through ministering to them, something will come back down upon us. And we don't want to do it, and our flesh is burning, but we do it because it's right, and here comes the grace. Here comes the grace. Thank God for it. So the fruit of the Spirit. God is love and puts a premium on love. Cures many ills, putting down our flesh. So love wins the day. It never fails, because it represents God. Love never fails. You think about that. Ponder that. Say la. Muse. Love never fails. Like, what does that really mean? Love. What's never mean in the Greek? Never. In other words, it's real. It's not figurative. Love, it works. It wins the day. But we know gifts are given, but fruit is cultivated. So we grow in grace. When we got born again, we didn't become angelic. Yes, we were on our way to heaven, but there's a process, there's development, there's maturity. So we know gifts are given, but fruit is what? It's cultivated. If you have a gift on your life, a grace on your life, you can operate that in your sleep. You can jumpstart that. It's just second nature. It's a gift. It's a grace. Now, it would make sense to work on that and to hone it and to sharpen it, but I mean, you can activate a gift just on a whim. Fruit, however, has to grow, it has to be developed, has to be cultivated. One can be highly developed in gifting while sorely lacking in fruit, character, godliness. And unfortunately, that can be all too common. And as we say, a man can destroy with his character the very thing he is building with his gifting. It's almost a proverb. It's so common. I'm having to step in and deal with a situation right now in Europe demonstrating this very principle. Fruit requires intentionality, whereas gifting does not. One can automatically move in their gifting irrespective of the fruit and character. One can be amazingly talented, brilliant, gifted, yet oddly corrupt at the same time. You're like, how does that happen? How in the world? I mean, it's kind of like that Matthew 7:21. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? You know, you don't do what I ask you to do, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out devils, da 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 da? He said, depart from me, I never knew. He's like, how could you do all that? Because things respond to the gospel, things respond to the name of Jesus. And so even if there's a grace there, is there a corresponding character to hold the grace and the gift? You see, Paul said in verse 25, let's read this out loud again together, go. Since we live by the Spirit, let us what? Keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, keep in step. That implies we could possibly lag behind. And there is our restless flesh volunteering to step in. I remember back in, I think it was around 2005, being in India with Pastor Yesu Padam, who we hosted here this fall, and just an expansive ministry there. But I was in his office, and there was an appointment that someone had asked to meet with him. A younger minister came in proposing to join his ranks and merge ministries. And after he had exited, Yesu Padam turned and said, that gentleman, he was lacking peace. There was no peace on him. In other words, the restlessness of flesh. So he thus interpreted that as a check, as a flag, like something off. It was just kind of a discerning, subjective X factor. There's not the peace that God gives, and that's a concern. Again, Paul said, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with Him. And again, that obviously assumes we might not be in step. And see, that's where the intentionality comes in. It's like if we just let our yard go, our house go, you know, if we don't tend to it, it won't evolve into something greater and better, will it not? I mean, the second law of thermodynamics will kick in. Amen. If we just leave our garden be, you know, we can pray all we want, but you got to tend it and pull the weeds and protect it. The scripture says, guard your heart, for out of it flow, what, the issues of life. There's a guarding over. I was telling someone just recently, they were saying, how do you know if you've overstepped or you've been too aggressive in a ministry situation or even in evangelism? I said, because you'll just know. If you were too aggressive or you feel like you went a little over the top, immediately in your spirit, you'll know. You'll have a witness, or sometimes you'll have a, yeah. How many of y'all have ever had that, yeah? And then you feel like you kind of got to circle back and just say, look, I just, in my zeal to see God do all He wants to do in your life, I think maybe I just kind of, you know, stepped over a line. But I want you to know I'm here for you, man. I'm praying for you. And I remember an old high school friend of mine. He was our quarterback for our high school team. And when I got right with God, he said, oh, it's just, y'all have heard me say this before. He's now an attorney here in Raleigh. He said, oh, it's just a fad. It's just a fad. When I see him now, I say, hey, man, 41 years later, the fad continues, you know, and I cut up with him. But I can remember when he was in law school at Carolina and we were bringing in Rice Brooks, and I thought, if anyone could turn his head, it'll be Rice, you know. And so I called him up. I said, you got to come. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to show up at this time. I'm going to pick you up. And he said, easy, easy, easy. How many of you have just wanted something so much? But you got to be stay in step, and there's a dance. You know, it's like, Lord, are you leading to this? Or is it time to really kind of accelerate here? Or do I need to soft pedal a little more? We do that with our spouses when we're overbearing, and you may win the argument, but yet something in you is like, yeah. And that doesn't feel good. It's like, yeah, I won the argument, so I think, but yet there's a grief. Why is there a grief of the Holy Spirit within? It's like recoiling. No, I didn't initiate that. That was you. Don't put that on me. That was you. That was flesh. That was that Adam nature. I was here the whole time. I was ready to assist, but no. You had to go for it to satisfy that emotional need. But then later, it's like, ugh. And it lasts so short. You know, you can get an immediate release. You know, you visualize telling someone off, you know, yeah, and you go do that, and it'll last about that long. And then you'll just kind of, oh, I'm an idiot. How'd I do that? It said that God restrained his anger time and time again with Israel, and he did not release his full wrath. That's by the fruit of the Spirit, you would think, for a believer, the fruit of self-control. When someone who says, well, I just can't help it. Well, give me chapter and verse for that. You know, he is there to help us in the moment. But we're in a growth along the continuum of sanctification. Amen. And so when we blow it, then we determine, I don't want to do that again. That hurt too much. It's kind of like Peter when he denied the Lord. He said, I don't ever want to do that again. That hurt. That really hurt. And I think really that helped form him. The pain of that failure, you see, keep in step. Keep in step. That's why God, through Paul, gave us a list of the fruit of the Spirit to measure ourselves, beginning again with what? Come on this Valentine's Day. Beginning with what? Beginning with love. Love, joy, peace, patience. Hold on, patience. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. I love the ancient mystic Thomas A Kempis, who said, many a man commend patience, but few are willing to suffer. So we can commend it. Oh yeah, fruit of the Spirit. All right, I need you to wait. No, you know. But again, there's a growth there, you see. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but a faithful man, who can find? I look around here and there are faithful soldiers in this house. Faithful, faithful. Those that are in occupational ministry and those that aren't. I look at Alan, I look at Tyler, just faithful. One time we gave him Servant of the Year and I said, no, give me that plaque back. Give it back. I'm going to change. I said, no, Servant of the Decade. We were at our 10-year reunion, you know. Faithful. Doug out there pulling a shard that big out of my wife's tire. Thank you, Doug. Thank you. Just Will Parker, dear me, from day one. How many of y'all remember the Wiley days? Hauling all that furniture from way back on the other side of the school. That was pure work. I mean, they had a library and kind of a tech center there, and we had to completely flip it. I mean, just work. Those that have been pillars, and just God honors that. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God gives the grace. The spirit and flesh are at war. Can you say war? They just are. They're at conflict. And it doesn't matter how much we mature, they'll always be at war. So then, therefore, we never graduate. I mean, you may have a pristine moment in God and in the grace of God, kind of like Peter, who do men say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven, he was kind of had that cocky, yeah, I'm going to go to the front of the class, what I'm talking about. And then he talked about Jesus. He said, I'm going to go up and be handed up, you know, among the rulers and the religious leaders, and I'm going to be crucified. No, Lord, no, you're not. He said, get behind me, Satan. I mean, we can just turn on a dime, can't we? No, can you imagine rebuking God? It's like, Jesus. We're funny, aren't we? He sure loves us, and I'm glad. That's what we bank on. He sure loves us. So again, the point is, regardless of how many years we've logged in, that battle, that conflict, it'll always be there. But when we develop new rhythms, then our default is more readily to go toward the Spirit. We're just working that muscle to where it can become muscle memory. Amen? And that principle is true on the other side of the ledger too. When we're just given to the other and that's our default, we always revert to flesh. Revert to flesh. It's a pattern. It's a flesh pattern, a sin pattern. Maybe it's generational in nature. Maybe you can see that same pattern in your folks and you're like, no, the bloodline, we're going to sever that here. We're going to deal with that. By the grace of God, I'm going to rise above that temptation because I want to represent him well. How many of y'all want to represent him well in the house? Come on, somebody. So they are at war and in conflict with one another, knowing that we really then have to lean into the Spirit. It's a choice. We give the Spirit by choice, preeminence, first place, leadership. And at times, to be honest, it hurts so good. Amen? How many of you know not every pain is destructive? Some pain is constructive. Hello? Like getting out of bed in the morning, you may relate to that as pain. I don't like this. I had a flow in that bed. But it's constructive to get out of that thing and begin the day. So you can think, oh gosh, to really be led of the Spirit, yeah, it hurts so good. It's like the feeling of a burn doing push-ups. But what's, quote, burning is our flesh. We learn to put it under, to put it down. We practice putting it down and we practice love. We practice love. We practice love. You get born again and all of a sudden you're not just this ball of oozing love. No, we can still be a rascal. We can still be a knothead. We can still be carnal. People say, can a Christian have a demon? Well, a Christian can have anything he wants. Do you want one? Now, you can't be possessed theologically, but a spirit of anger, a spirit of rage, a spirit of, you fill in the blank. Hello? But we do want to progress. So we learn love. We practice love. Doctors, they practice medicine on you. Lawyers are practicing law. Ministers are practicing. We can practice the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. We can, and believe you me, there'll be opportunity. But we want to practice love. We want to get better at it. Love truly is the answer to just about, well, a lot in life. It's a sure remedy, a silver bullet. Remember Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Love dissolves many an ill. There is power in love. When someone responds in an opposite spirit than mere carnality, there's power in that. A gentle answer can turn away wrath. There's power in godliness. There's power in going for the higher ground. And the one on the other end of the equation may not readily admit it up front, but there's a power there. And there's no law against it. It is supreme, biblical love, that is. Even our faith works by what? Love. Biblical faith works by love. The 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of the Spirit, they too, according to chapter 13, work by love. If not, we're just a clanging gong and a noisy cymbal, etc. I mean, they're to work by love. Saint Valentine was sacrificial in his love. It cost him dearly. But yet, we have precedent for that because the scripture says no greater love is there than this, that a man, what, lay down his life for his friends. In other words, we can talk a good game, but I said, no, there's no greater love. He modeled it. You see, that's agape, supernatural, given by the Holy Ghost of God. Glory be to God. It's given to the one in step with him. And again, it takes God to do the works of God. And that's why we want to keep in step. There's a place for eros. God created it. There's a place for philia. And there's a place for agape. God created all three, but you cannot do agape apart from God. You could do the others just in yourself, but you can't do agape apart from God. There again, it's going to take God to do the works of God in those moments. Yet agape is what we need more of, the God kind of love. Agape helps us love our spouses better. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Agape helps us to be a better friend, a truer, deeper friend. Agape helps us to release. Agape helps us to forgive. Agape motivates us to take the high ground. Agape is what checks us when we want to gossip. Agape, instead of just, you know, a tooth for a tooth, will by faith turn the other cheek. It takes strength to be restrained, you see. Now, you've only got two cheeks, so don't be a doormat. But anyway, you understand the point. It takes God to truly serve him, to do his works, to represent him. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And we know that there are enemies of love. Amen. And sometimes right when you resolve, I'm really going to grow in an area, here comes a test. Have you ever done that before? I'm really going to grow in this area. And before you get the words out of your mouth, here comes the test. You see, it's like God heard that. It's like, don't pray it so loud next time. I mean, like, God, I want to grow in patience. Here it comes. Lord, I want to love my roommate. Here it comes. Lord, I want to love the unlovely. Here they come. It's like, God, just give me the easy cases, not the hard cases. Maybe it's a compliment when the hard cases come our way. There are enemies of love, sure. Hurt, pain, disappointment that turns into unforgiveness, maybe bitterness. It closes out the light. It shuts the door. It hides. It builds a case. Whereas 1 Corinthians 13, remember, says love keeps what? No record of wrongs. Now, you're talking about a tall order. Keeps no record of wrongs. That means you got to go back to that list and tear it up. And it's like, well, no, if I tear it up, I ain't got no record. I might not have remembered it right. I'm telling you, it's otherworldly. It's supernatural. There's a great book by Dr. R.T. Kendall called Total Forgiveness. Powerful. He thought he had released someone and then realized that he had not yet, because it was always in his conversation and there was a grip there. But yet for our own freedom and liberation, we want to choose love, do we not? Yeah. And as one man said, love like you've never been hurt before. Sometimes when you take a blow, it's like, all right, I tried that. I'm not doing that again. I'm not being generous again. I'm not going to give myself in that way again. I tried it. It hurt. I don't want to do that. And so then we just hold it real close to our vest. But how many of you know that's not living? Now, it doesn't mean we're gullible. Doesn't mean we're naive. But it's like, I am not going to trade a lesser vitality of life just in view of what might happen. I'm going to live large, as it were. I'm going to live in a generous way. You see, it takes courage to love. Courage is a virtue, and it takes courage to begin again. I mean, that could be a word for someone here today. You just need to begin again by faith. Just begin again by faith. God calls us to it. And this too is keeping in step with the Spirit. There's no law against it. It wins the day. Agape overriding, supernatural love. Romans 5, 1 through 5 says this. Here again, Paul. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we also rejoice in our what? And see, that's why there's no denial or Pollyanna there. I mean, he's admitting it. We rejoice even in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Why? Here it is. Because God has what? Poured out his love into our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So it's a God thing. It's a supernatural thing. Like, I can't do this in and of myself. I can't do this. Only you can help a man. But you said you've poured out your love and into my heart by your Holy Ghost. I want to lean into that. Y'all remember the story of Corrie Ten Boom and The Hiding Place? People maybe my age, you know, that were in the Nazi concentration camps. And Corrie Ten Boom, her dad was a watchmaker, and they would hide friends under the floorboards, and you know, they were arrested and were in the concentration camps and watched her sister beaten to death by one of the Nazi guards. And then after that season and after the release and after the war was over, you know, came back and she'd go on the speaking circuit. I think she wrote a book or two. But she tells of one story, one time, while she is preaching on the topic of forgiveness. I don't know if it was in America or in Europe. I don't know where it was. She's preaching on the topic of forgiveness. And lo and behold, she looks into the audience and the very guard that beat her sister is sitting out there. I mean, it's like, dear Lord, you're going to have to pour grace. And then what to do? He came up to her afterward and said, that was really just a great message. Take me now. It's like, can I slap him and then repent after? Amen. Oh, it would have felt so good. She said, I held my peace. Oh, it's a burn. What's that smell? It's your flesh. It's on fire. I'm telling you, it's a lot like push-ups. It's like, you look at these Olympics and these athletes that are doing cross country and their thighs that look like the trunk of a tree. I mean, they are just burning and they're working it. They're working that muscle. They're working it, you see. Well, in the same way in the Christian experience, we work it. We want to be intentional. We want the Spirit to have preeminence. We want to stay in step. That's a choice. Can you say that's a choice? But I love this text. Wow, God has poured out His love into our hearts. There it is, by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. God will help us. God never commands anything that He doesn't give the wherewithal to help. And aren't you glad? When He calls you to something you feel like is beyond you, it's because you're going to have to lean into grace. You ever felt overwhelmed? Lean on God. Look and lean on Him. Lord, this is bigger than me. This is beyond me. I'm really going to need grace. I'm really going to need grace in this season. God, I'm feeling A, B, C, D. I'm really going to need grace. And we cry out to grace, which is humility, because you're saying, I can't do it. And He gives grace to the humble. And by the very act of crying out is an act of humility, because you're saying, I can't do it, but You can. And He's like, well, I like that. I hear that prayer. Here comes the grace. He resists the proud, but oh, He gives grace to the humble. Just a little quick workshop here and we're done. Maybe you've got something to write down, or maybe you can type it on your phone. But just maybe a point or two just here as we close. Maybe just type to yourself, how might I, with the Spirit's help, love better on this Valentine weekend? How might I, with grace from above, on this Valentine's weekend, and yes, there's arrows, there's that brotherly friendship love, but that agape, how might I love better? Maybe just a point or two, not long, just a little workshop moment. With his help, that's the disclaimer. How might I love better? It's process. Ebb and flow, two steps forward, one step back, but yet growth, but yet progress. Progress, not perfection. Development.